We're doing the Shota Ramban. This is Nachmanides' speech about how holistic Torah is, how encompassing it is of the different wisdoms of the world. And the Ramban had said that without Torah, we'd be nowhere. The Ramban went so far as to say there'd be no difference between man and the donkey he's riding on. We had many questions on this. We asked, is there no intrinsic value? Is there no intrinsic conscience to man? Is there no way man can be good and kind without the Torah? And Ramban seemed to say that not. And we said that's a very, very strong statement that needs more exploration. Ramban says, coming back to what we discussed earlier, there are nations that seem like they're just like the Torah. There are nations that have systems and moral codes. Certainly seems like the Torah. He says, pay attention where they're situated. They're pretty close to civilization. They're the Christians, they're the Muslims. They're copycats, says the Ramban. They took our Torah and they learned from it. And then as Rome expanded, so Rome spread out the understandings that they gleaned from the Torah. So the Romans established legal systems and codes that are similar to Torah. Yes, there are definitely nations that are comparable to Torah, says the Ramban, because they copied us. But he says, why don't you go to the extremities? Go to places that are very far from us. Go to places where they never heard of the Jews. What did the Indians look like? Did they have moral codes that were anything like the Torah? You don't find that. When you go to the Far East, he says, you're not going to find people that have laws that are similar to the Torah. He uses a term that's going to bother you, but this is what he writes. He says, behemot gemurot hem. They are complete animals. That's the wording of the Ramban. These far nations that never heard of me and never saw me, says Hashem. Says Ramban, I want you to know. Initially, everyone was like this. We see examples of that in our parsha. Avram shows up to town, and if they don't think he'll put up a fight, they just take the woman. No one bothers asking her who she wants to be married to. The nations marveled at us and said, what a system you guys have. Your system is so honest. It's so fair. Take note what it says. It's telling you that around the world, no one had a culture, no one had a value system that was as kind as ours. No one said, mine is good, yours is just a little bit better. No. Their reaction was, whoever heard of a nation that has a system like yours? You know that 150 years ago, there was almost nowhere in the world that a woman could sue her husband for abuse. He could beat the daylights out of her and she couldn't do anything. What?
Yeah, they didn't have any rights.
Yeah, I'm saying, they didn't vote, you could discuss. But they had no right to self-defense. Meaning, so long as he did it, you know the rule of thumb, we discussed it, right? The rule of thumb was, so long as you beat your wife with a stick that was thinner than your thumb, you were okay, that was legal. That was the rule of thumb. In the United States, that was the rule. That's what was called the rule of thumb.
That came from England.
Okay, came from England, wonderful. Okay, I'm just saying, in Judaism it doesn't exist. I'm saying, that's not to say abuse doesn't exist, but the system doesn't allow it. A woman could come to court. A woman has a voice. You know, in many Arab countries today, if a man wants to marry a woman and she refuses, then it's within his rights to defend his honor and maim her. This is done commonly. There are women that walk around and their nostrils look like pigs because the guy, she wouldn't marry him, so he cut off a large chunk of her nose. Now no one's going to marry her. Now no one's going to marry her. Who wants to marry a woman whose nose... Oh, this is in many places in the world. No. No, many civilized Arab countries.
Oh, Arabs?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there are honor killings in many places in the world. It's not, I'm saying we live in such a wonderful society that we tend to disregard. We don't even know what's going on not so far away from us. You know, if you travel 50 kilometers north, 50 kilometers south, 50 kilometers east, you have a world that's just a different world. The whole system. We live in this paradise and we don't realize what's going on out there. So Ramban says, when the Torah was given, there didn't exist a nation in the world that had a value system that was anything like ours. No one had a system that was as civilized as ours. He says, I'm going to expand on what it means, chukim. They looked at us and they said, that's amazing, the system you have. And then they started copying it. And that's why you find that Christianity and Islam have systems that try to make people's life better. Suddenly there's a Sabbath, so they couldn't copy ours. So one shifted it to the left, the other shifted it to the right. They'll take a Sunday, they'll take a Friday. If we have fast days, so they make a Ramadan, they make a Good Friday. They're going to take the concepts they see by us, adulterate them, and then try to implement them as a system that's going to be as good. It won't work, but it'll be a system that looks similar. And so the Ramban says, yes, they copied our system. That's why you find that in certain respects, they do look similar. And that's why the great rabbi, Rabbi Moshe, who's that? Rambam. That's why Rabbi Moshe, the Rambam writes in the Laws of Kings, all these things that Yeshu, who was Notri, what does Notri mean? Notri means the man who was formed. Yotzer means formed. He wanted to say there was an immaculate conception, or others wanted to say. So we always call him Notri, formed like everyone else. That's what it means, Notri. That's what it means. Shamad Acharav, or the Yishmaeli who came after him, Einan Ela LeYeshel Derech LeMelech HaMashiach VeLetiken Tonam SheYavdut Hashem BeYachad. Says Rambam, in his estimation, the reason God has allowed these two religions to develop is so that they will pave the way for the Mashiach and bring the world a step closer, so that we will ultimately be talking the same language and we will have the basis from which to unite. Because the prophet tells us, I will turn to the nations clearly, and then they will unite to serve Hashem. Ketzad, Rambam says, why do I think this is God's plan in this world? The world is familiar now with the concept of Messiah. So they claim this one's the Messiah, and they claim that one's the Messiah, but the world knows the concept now. And the world is also aware that the Torah exists. So they're going to say there's a New Testament, and they're going to say there's a Quran. But they all know that a Torah exists. So these two religions created a reality where the world is aware of certain truths. They all know there are commandments. So throughout the world, these concepts have spread. And this, says Rambam, we're stopping midstream. Next class, we'll begin with the Ramban. We'll finish off this thought. But we're in the middle of the Rambam and his description of why he believes that Christianity and Islam are steps in the right direction for the world. They are going to lead the world in the right direction. I don't think Rambam would tell anyone to be a Christian or a Muslim, but he's saying, if you want my analysis of what's happening in the world, Hashem is moving the world in a direction which is going to set the stage for a much better world. This is a step which will allow a much better world, even though Rambam held that Christianity is paganism, that a non-Jew is prohibited from being a Christian. But nonetheless, Rambam says, there are certain things we can see, we can note, which are developing, which lay the groundwork for a better world, which we hope we're headed towards soon. that's where we'll pick up.